Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 107. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted, and their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw nearer unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. He setteth the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we have what we have called here an orphan psalm. It has no provenance, if you will, in that there is no psalm title to tell us when it was written or by whom it was written. There are perhaps a couple of clues in the psalm itself. It may be a post-exilic psalm. Here we begin the fifth book of the Psalter, and in beginning the fifth book, it would be appropriate, I suppose, to begin with a post-exilic psalm to show how that the Lord brought his people out of their captivity and back to the land of promise. And so notice in verse 3, he gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. But then he brought them to a city of habitation in verse 7. I hope you heard the refrain that happens over and again throughout the psalm. And these are section markers, are they not? We learn that, don't we, as we read through various portions of Scripture, and we see that these are markers of context. And so here's what I want you to understand, is that when we hear this, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, that's not the end of the section. The next verse is included in that, and it relates to that which went before. Okay? So the verse following, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So verse 9 then relates back to 1 through 6. And that happens in every case in this psalm. So the way we say that technically is we have the ultimate of the section, and that would be the last verse. And then we have the penultimate of the section, and the penultimate is that refrain that goes on over and again. Okay, so those of you who know how to speak that language, you understand exactly what I said, and those of you that don't said, what did he say? Okay, so hopefully then we're understanding the structure of the psalm, and that structure ends in verse 32, and then 33 through 43 form the summary of the psalm, so that we might understand what the psalm itself teaches. And if I can put one title over the entirety of the psalm, it would be that it is God that works in the changes of men. Okay? And so sometimes these changes are extraordinary. They're way outside of our expectation. And yet we acknowledge that it is God that is causing those changes to come to pass. And then other times, those changes are what we would expect, and yet it is still God that is making those changes. And so in extraordinary things and in ordinary things, we learn in this psalm to acknowledge the great wonder and providence of God, even in his ordinary works and then also in his extraordinary works. For instance, in the fourth section, I guess, if you were a mariner, right, those who go to the sea in ships, if you were a mariner, you're going to expect that every now and then when you're sailing along, you're going to reach a place in the ocean where there's a storm. Notice it says that the Lord commands those winds, and he raises up those waves up into heaven, and then he causes them to plummet down into the depths. Of course, maybe you haven't ever yourself been on a ship that's been doing that. I have not. But I've talked to many that have. I used to work with a couple of guys that were Navy men, and they had been in a typhoon, and their aircraft carrier that they were on, which was 1,000 feet long, itself was buffeted by 60 and 70 foot waves, and so they had wonderful stories about climbing up and then going down, climbing up and going down, while they turn the bow of the ship into those waves. Doesn't sound like fun, okay? But what do we learn here in this psalm? We learn that it's the Lord who raises up those storms, the Lord who piles up those waves and causes them to to go down, right? But then also we learn, now if you were a mariner, you might just expect this, right? You might expect, you know, it's a storm, it'll blow itself out. But it's the Lord that sends the calm. And it's the Lord that brings them to the haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works unto the children of men. See, even in things that we would expect to be ordinary, we are to learn to praise the Lord in them and in them all. And so the lament of the psalm is that we don't normally do that. That it's something that we must learn how to do. It's something that we must understand, that these things are not automatic, that they don't simply come in the quote-unquote natural and impersonal way of things, that there is a personal God who is sovereign over all of these things, and that it is the bent of mankind not to recognize him in them. Notice the great irony then of the psalm in that there are so many things that God does all the time, and we pass by them in ignorance. Sometimes a willful ignorance, sometimes a forgetful ignorance, and sometimes in just ignorance. So we're called upon then by Psalm 107, by the psalmist here, to remember the goodness of God, to remember the goodness of God in everything that he sends. Even when we're at the top of the wave or at the bottom of the trough, we are reminded in this psalm to praise the Lord, to call upon his name, to remember his wonderful works unto the sons or the children of men. So that's the overarching theme of the psalm. Now let's go ahead and take a look at a few things. First of all, we have how that God has gathered his people from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west and brought them to a city of habitation. And notice the result of that, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Now we might reason from these first nine verses, we might reason not only with regard to earthly things, but spiritual things as well. And we would be reminded of that, would we not, in Hebrews chapter 11, where we hear that the city that Abraham desired that God should build for him was a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, and was not the land of Canaan. It is a heavenly city that he sought, and he sought that because heavenly cities are enduring. And so when we wander about spiritually, when we are cast about spiritually, having no sure way and no sure home, we remember the Lord's work, that he brings us to a city of habitation to fill our hungry soul with his goodness. That's the first section. The second section, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. So notice now we have those, it's not just his people that have wandered, these are those who have cast off the word of God. And the Lord brings them low. He brings them, perhaps even his people, into captivity. Perhaps they are taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and brought into a place of darkness, far away from the city, the great city, Zion, and her worship. And the temple is brought down to nothing, and the church is decimated for the rebellion of its membership. They're brought down, and their heart is brought down heavy with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then, verse 13, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses and brought them out of the shadow of death and darkness and break their bands in sunder. And then we have the same refrain, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Then verse, notice 16, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Here he's released them from their captivity. Then we move on to the next section. fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. I'm going to assume that there's some consistency here in the Psalter and say these are just rank unbelievers, not any profession of faith in God, faith in Christ. We have that perhaps in the first section. His people are gathered into a habitation. We have it perhaps in the second section because they rebelled against the words of God. But here, these are merely fools. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted, and their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near to the gates of death. But notice in verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. You've heard me say this before, I believe. This was the sermon verse. This was the verse of George Wishart's sermon when Dundee was sore afflicted by the plague. Wishart's gate is still in Dundee today. He stood upon the gate, and on his left-hand side outside the city were those who had been kicked out of the city because they were infected by the plague. And those who were inside the city, they were still there and healthy. And he stood at the middle between them both and preached from 107:20 and said, he sent his word and healed them so that they should not depend upon earthly health, but that they should put first things first. And so notice, fools, because of their transgression, are drawn near to death. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them out of their destruction. And once again, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then notice their response, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Then we have another section, and this is that maritime section, if you will, verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships. Well, mariners did not have a reputation of being godly folk during the days of the Old Testament. Normally, the psalmist's exposure in the ancient Near East, in the land of Canaan, to those who went to the sea in ships would be those who worshipped, sacrificed unto their net. It would be those who called upon the gods of the sea. Remember that the Philistines, who were a seafaring people, had a god whose name was Dagon, remember him? And most reconstructions of that god and the statues was in the form of a fish. The Dagon was in one way or another in the form of a fish. Now we know he had hands and feet because he was found lying before the Ark of the Covenant without his hands and feet. We remember that. But he was in the form of a fish. And so normally, the psalmist would not think of seafaring people as those who were particularly godly. You remember that when Jonah was fleeing the face of the Lord and went down to Joppa and boarded ship, that the men sacrificed unto their gods because of the great storm that they were enduring. You remember that, right? And then they asked Jonah, why are you asleep? What's wrong with you? And he told them about his God who made heaven and earth. And then they were very much afraid. So then, these that go down to the ship, to the sea in ships, they do great business in the waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. But notice, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They're up and down in the waves. It is only after that tribulation that they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. And he makes the storm a calm, and they're glad because they make their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 32, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And you see how that might correspond to a seafaring man who would be away from the worship of God for months on end. Make sure then that when you come home, you do what? You attend upon that worship of God and call upon him in the assembly of elders, and so on. All right, so then the epilogue, if you will, of the psalm begins in verse 33, and it runs through verse 43. And we have several different kinds of people, several different kinds of circumstances, places of living, occupations, and so on. And we see that the Lord rules over them all. That if there is any advancement, it comes from the Lord. And if there is any diminishing, it has to do with our sins. And this becomes then an occasion to call upon the Lord. So let's put feet to this, brothers and sisters. Tell me, have you been under some difficulty? Have you lost your job? Have you had difficulty with your health? Were you in a vehicle accident, lost a car? Have you suffered some loss, deprivation, some diminishing of your wealth, outward estate? Or maybe it's more personal than that. Maybe it's a spiritual estate. Maybe it's more inward. Well, then this becomes an occasion, according to Psalm 107, to call upon the name of the Lord, to confess your sins. The Lord brings such afflictions to his people for their good. Or have you been riding on the high places of the earth? Has the Lord blessed you beyond your wildest imaginations? Has he satisfied that longing soul of yours? Have you had sweet times of communion with him? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works and the mercy and grace that he's shown to the sons of men. Well, we need to put feet to psalms like this when we read them. We need to bring them home very personally to ourselves and make good use of them. Not simply read by them and think of some third party that needs to hear this very much. We ought to bring this home to ourselves. With that then, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.